Hey everyone, it's Deb. I'm back. I actually took a couple months off to get married and move. Well, we actually got married a few months ago, but we had our reception. So it's been great so far. It's kind of interesting, or it's an adjustment after 15 years of being so independent to live with someone again. But we have our own place and it's actually a new state. So it's been so far so good. It's been fun. So I'm getting settled. So I am looking forward to getting back and doing the podcasts every week. So anyway, thanks for your patience. You're listening to my podcast, Debbie Does Dating. And today we're going to dive deep into a topic that often goes unaddressed, sabotage. Sabotage in dating. Why do we do it? And more importantly, how can we avoid it?
Debbie Does Dating. With your host, Debbie Clawson. Sponsored by Dating by Deb.
All right, before we jump into the heart of the matter, let me share an awkward dating moment with you. I'd been single for a few years, so I wasn't a newbie, but this experience was a first, and thankfully, a last. And it wasn't actually a dating moment necessarily, but it was at a singles dance. So I went to a singles dance, and back in the olden days, I loved going to these dances. I loved them. I still love dancing, but a singles dance is a whole nother experience. Anyway, I went with some friends and I was having a great time when a slow song came on. And I actually preferred the dances where the slow songs didn't exist. But I guess since the whole point of a singles activity is to find your special someone, the ones who have found their special someone wanted slow dancing. So this little guy asked me to dance. And when I say little, I meant little to me. I'm over 6 feet tall and he was like 5'6". So just like chest level, which made this story a little bit even more creepy. It had to be a pretty uncomfortable situation for me to say no, because when a guy asked me to dance, even if I didn't want to, I figured I could handle being with a guy for 3 minutes. So I said yes. And while we were dancing, I like to make conversation because it makes it so much less awkward, and I do like getting to know people. So I asked him a question about himself and he answered in broken English. So it was difficult for me to understand between that and the loud music. The song came to a close and so I let go and said thanks. He held on and said something that I didn't understand because he had a super thick accent. What I thought he said was that he was asking for a kiss. So I said, what? He pulled me closer to him and said, give me a kiss. With his lips puckered. I'm not lying. I literally pushed him away and said, no. My gosh, weirdo. I went and told my friends and we had a laugh after I, you know, got over the creepiness of the whole situation. And that's the moment that I became a little more selective of who I slow danced with. Yeah. Okay, so let's start by defining what exactly we mean by sabotage in dating. It refers to the self-defeating behaviors and actions we engage in that keep us from developing a healthy, fulfilling, romantic relationship. And it can manifest in various forms. Some of us who are pros at sabotage, my hand's raised right now, can come up with some pretty creative ways to do it without even knowing we're doing it. That's how good we are. Anyway, ways such as pushing away potential partners by ignoring them, subtly punishing them. Oh, you want examples? I've got examples. And this isn't easy for me to admit, but if I can help others through my unhealthy behavior, I'm all for it. The most important part about this situation just shows us how our brains work, how they are out to protect us from imminent danger, especially from this super cute guy who you really like spending time with and just may open your door and possibly even send you flowers. But who knows? Yeah, my brain knows. The door may slip and knock me in the head. I'd be unconscious. Meanwhile, that bee that was lurking inside those beautiful flowers would sting me. I'd go into anaphylactic shock. My throat would swell up and I would die before I was even able to experience the joy of finding my everlasting love. That's how she works. My brain. Thanks, brain, for being so mindful of every single bad thing that could ever possibly happen. So, once upon a time, I dated a guy, let's call him Gary, let's preface this by saying, I had been really burned by someone before who I thought was into me, but turns out he really wasn't. So someday I'll tell you about my own. He's just not that into you movie plot, but for now, just know that it hurt pretty bad. So fast forward to Gary. At this point, I'm in ultra protective dating mode, which means if this guy even looks at me with anything but the most adoring eyes, I'm gone. Since my utterly painful experience, I had in mind the exact way I should be treated, down to my future guy's every move, even what he should say to me. I'm telling you, believe me, at that time I didn't know I was thinking like a psycho person. Okay, maybe unreasonable expectations is a better way to describe it, but looking back now, it's pretty clear. I'd only gone out with Gary a couple times, but I was really starting to like him, which usually causes me anxiety and also causes me to do some pretty stupid things. Because, after all, don't we want our Prince Charming to love even the dumb parts of us? I'd been texting him during the week, and since I was leaving on my cruise with my kids on Saturday, he called me on Friday. I was at work, but Fridays were pretty chill, so I stepped out and answered it. He was surprised and said he was just going to leave me a voice message saying goodbye. My first thought was, that was very sweet of him, but then my lower brain kicks in. Wait. Did he not want to talk to you? He said he just wanted to leave you a message. Skip to Sunday, which was Mother's Day. We were on the high seas sailing to Mexico. And as with most vacations I went on, in my downtime, I can't help but think about how much fun it would be to be on vacation with my one true love. And of course, since I liked this guy, I was naturally thinking about him. I hadn't heard from him for a couple days because we were on the high seas. But of course, my lower brain kicks into gear. Don't worry, I'll do a whole episode on the different parts of the brain and their roles. Anyway, my lower brain kicks into gear and it's like, who cares if you're 100 miles away from him, out of cell service? If he really wanted to reach out, he would find a way, which really means he doesn't care. Later that night, I got on Facebook and saw that he had wished me a happy Mother's Day. So I thought, that's so sweet of him. My lower brain. Yeah, you think that's sweet of him, but he only sent you a GIF, which he probably sent to his mom and every other woman in his life right now. And actually, I just looked up how to say that. I used to say GIF, but it's a GIF from what I read. So I don't know why I listened to my lower brain so much. It's because I didn't understand the difference. I did know that somehow I had the ability to consciously choose another way of thinking, but I didn't know the route until I found coaching. And 15 years down the road, yeah, that's how long it took me to learn this. And this is exactly why I want to help you guys now. So it won't take you as long as it took me to heal. So I go back to protecting myself and trying to convince my heart that it's not a big deal. I really don't care if he likes me or not. And I'm going to tell you right now that I had a blast with my kids on the cruise. We laughed so much and had the best time. It was awesome. And don't worry, I wasn't holed up in my room focused on this guy. But by Friday, I had convinced myself that he wasn't that into me either. And also, I didn't reach out to him that whole week. And there's where the sabotage comes into play. If he wanted to pursue me, then he could find a way to reach out to me. I'm not going to put myself out there and be vulnerable just to take a chance on being rejected. No way. Turns out he was that into me and he was giving me space and time with my kids. And there's much more to this story that I'll tell you in a few future episodes. But for now, just know that I had to put my brain in its place several times while I was dating him. So that's just one example of one of the ways sabotage can rear its ugly, cowardly head. Another is creating unnecessary drama, which was also very apparent in my example. Sabotage can also show up by undermining our own happiness. I remember feeling like maybe I shouldn't be looking for something more than I already have had. Or that I currently had. I mean, I have felt what it's like to be in love and to love someone. And then I also was able to have 7 beautiful children. And that's a pretty full, wonderful life. So why should I think I deserve to find love again? Why do we think these things? Why do we sabotage ourselves? Okay, one key reason for self-sabotage in dating is fear. Absolutely. Most of us my age have experienced heartbreak in one form or another, so yes, sometimes we feel like there is no way we can go through that again. We fear vulnerability, rejection, and intimacy, so we unconsciously engage in behaviors that push others away. It's a defense mechanism that shields us from potential pain and disappointment, yes. However, in doing so, we also deny ourselves the opportunity to experience genuine connections and love. And that reminds me of the saying that everybody's heard, with great risk comes great reward. And I had a dream one time that I was standing on one side of a street and on the other was this big hill. And on the top of the hill was something that I really, really wanted. I didn't see what it was, but I knew that it was something I wanted. It might have been a Reese's peanut butter cup. Actually, it was probably like the love of my life or just something that I truly, really desired. So between me and the hill and up the hill and what I desired was a highway. So, and it was a pretty busy highway. There were cars going back and forth both sides. And I knew that in order to get what I wanted, I would have to put myself into danger and cross that road. And for a minute, I was like, ooh, I don't want to do that. I just want to stay here and not get hurt. But who knows if I would have gotten hurt? If I was very careful, I could have crossed the road and climbed the hill and achieved or received my ultimate desire. So part of me didn't want to do that, but other part of me wanted it. It was worth the risk. So that reminded me of that saying, with great risk comes great reward. I could have just stayed there and you could just keep yourself safe, but who knows if you're going to stay safe? I mean, a meteor, either one. I think a meteor is bigger, but a meteor could come and like blow me apart while I'm sitting there on the side of the road. Who knows? So if you want to receive or achieve what you desire, it's going to take some risk. That just makes sense. So that's so true. Another factor contributing to self-sabotage is a lack of self-worth. And oh, did I struggle with this? Have you ever been attracted to someone who you thought was way above you or way out of your league? So of course you don't pursue it because it's so obvious that they're not going to feel the same. So why do we do that? When we think things like this, we're not only doing ourselves a disservice, but we're also trying to control somebody else. We are deciding for them that they won't like us. How unfair is that? Let them decide. And you may have been right, but you also could be wrong. When we believe we don't deserve happiness or a loving relationship, we may engage in behaviors that sabotage our chances for success. Negative self-talk, self-sabotaging thoughts, and low self-esteem can all contribute to this destructive pattern. Now that we understand why we sabotage ourselves in dating, let's talk about some strategies to break free from this cycle and build healthier connections. Remember, change takes time and effort. But be patient and kind to yourself through this process. I mean, this behavior has been going on for who knows how long. You didn't even know you were doing it. At least I didn't. There was a point where I recognized what it was and I gave it a name, but that's as far as I got. And to be honest, I thought, that's just what I do. I self-sabotage. I guess I'm going to get to the point where somebody will be okay with that and marry me anyway. I had no idea that I could change it. It's crazy that a lot of us don't think we have any say in our thoughts and feelings, that life just happens to us, but we have way more control than we realize. It's just recognizing our thoughts and with curiosity, figuring out what's at the bottom of them. And then with compassion and love for ourselves, we can work toward a better outcome. So first and foremost, self-love is crucial, and then self-awareness. So take the time to reflect on your past relationships and identify patterns of self-sabotage. Recognize the specific behaviors or thoughts that hold you back. This self-reflection will allow you to gain insight into your triggers and make conscious choices to change your behaviors. It's also essential to work on cultivating a positive mindset. Challenge the negative beliefs you hold about yourself and replace them with empowering thoughts. It's always so much better to empower yourself rather than thinking you are just a victim to this self-sabotaging behavior. How do we turn this into empowerment? What are some thoughts we can choose? So let's take a particular circumstance of my story. First, we want to get pretty specific. So how about we take the circumstance that Gary sent me a GIF for Mother's Day? That's just an act. It's not nice or mean or anything. It's just what he did. My thought was, he didn't say anything else. He didn't write me a personal message. This is probably something he sent to everyone. And how did that make me feel? The emotions that came up for me were disappointment, upset, worry, maybe a little bit desperate or insulted. So then my actions were to punish him back. How dare he only send me a GIF? I'm not going to risk being hurt, so I'm not going to reach out to him this whole cruise. So then what were my results from these actions? Not good. They were definitely not going to get me where I wanted to be. So let's try something else. If I would have known more about coaching at this point and knew the facts and circumstances don't cause me to feel certain things, the way I think about the situation is what causes those feelings. So Gary sent me a Mother's Day GIF. If I were to start with the results I wanted, since I was liking this guy, I would want to spend more time with him, go on more dates with him, get to know him better. So what would I be doing if that were my result? What would my actions be? I would most definitely thank him, which I did, but then I would ask him how his week was. I might reach out to him during the week and share some of my cruise experiences I had. And the key here is not to expect anything in return, because how do I know what he's thinking? I'm not going to think for him. So if those were my actions, how would I be feeling? Happy, hopeful, encouraged, excited, anticipation. And so if those were my feelings, what would I be thinking about that circumstance? I would think, that is so sweet of him to reach out to me, even though we haven't been on a lot of dates yet, and I'm excited to tell him all about my trip and get to know him more. Much better thoughts and feelings, if you can believe them. And the thing to keep in mind is, you do not know what the other person's thinking. There's no way you can, so why put words in their mouth or thoughts in their heads? It's ridiculous. Now, he could have been thinking that he wasn't really interested and he was just being nice, so what if he was? What if he wasn't that interested? I would have found out at some point. So why put myself through that pre-suffering? Why suffer about something that may or may not happen before it even happens? You see what we do there? When we can recognize how worthy we are for love and that it's something that is totally possible for us, when we truly believe that, it naturally will cut down on the self-sabotaging behavior. So practice self-compassion and remind yourself that you are worthy of love and happiness. You can also surround yourself with supportive friends. Communication plays a significant role in avoiding sabotage, which means instead of putting words in someone else's mouth, here's a novel idea. Try asking them what they're thinking. Express your needs, desires, and concerns openly and honestly to your partner, even if you feel it may endanger the relationship, because chances are, maybe it won't. Effective communication fosters understanding and helps build trust, which is essential for any healthy relationships. And avoid playing mind games, withholding information, and resorting to passive-aggressive behavior. Hello, Deb! Additionally, developing emotional intelligence can greatly contribute to overcoming self-sabotage. Emotional intelligence, that is a good thing to have. I'm sure some of you men out there are thinking, what in the world goes on in a woman's head? And maybe confirms to you that some of us are crazy, which is not true. We're just trying to figure this out. And I know a lot of guys out there who are a little bit nuts as well. So we're just all trying to navigate this single life. It's tough. So this is why getting to know many people is helpful. Get yourself out there, have experiences, get better at recognizing why you do what you do, and figure out who you are. So if you do this along with practicing self-love and awareness, you'll be one step ahead of that sabotage train. I just came up with that. Anyway, I hope that some of you can relate to my crazy brain and realize that we all do this. Being single and dating puts your brain in heightened sense of protection, because in order to make connections, we need to be able to be vulnerable. And since we are out there either looking for our people or that special someone, we're going to need to be even more vulnerable. And our brains just don't like that. Where usually it serves us well to stay protected from danger, in the case of love, we need to realize that taking risks are necessary to get those connections, to achieve our greatest goals, to finally hold that sweet chocolatey peanut butter cup in our hand. Just kidding. But seriously, remember, it's not the circumstance that hurts or is scary. It's our thoughts about it that puts meaning to it. So with great risk comes great reward. Stop sabotaging and happy dating. Hey, if you can relate to any of my experiences and want to stop the self-sabotaging behavior, I can help. I learned to recognize it myself and work through it, and would love to help you figure it out way faster than I did. I love coaching, and this stuff really works. It worked and is still working for me, and I love helping others to see that life doesn't just happen to them. They can take the wheel and pilot their own experience the way it was intended. If you want coaching, whether through dating or any relationship you have or want to have, I'm your girl. Go to my website, I'm still working on it, but you can go to my calendar and sign up for a 1-hour free consultation where we'll chat about what's going on for you right now, where you ultimately want to be, and how I can help you get there. Or you can email me at dating.by.deb@gmail.com. This is my passion, and I want to help you make the most of your single experience.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clawson, sponsored by Dating by Deb.